Hello, listeners. Today is Wednesday, July 13th. Welcome to Behind the Numbers, Reimagining Retail, an e-marketer podcast made possible by Sky. This is the show where we talk about how retail collides with every part of our lives. I'm your host, Sarah Lebo. On this episode, we'll be discussing retail holidays, what makes them successful, and whether they're still relevant. Today, I am joined by Principal Analyst of Retail and E-commerce, Susie David Canyon. Hey, Susie.
Hey, Sarah.
Welcome back. Also back on the podcast is Director of Marketing and E-commerce Briefings, Jeremy Goldman. Welcome back, Jeremy.
Wonderful to be back with you.
I'm going to kick off the show with our first segment, News and Reviews, where I give the news and our guests tell me their reviews. Today's headline is a July 7th piece from Yahoo Finance titled, Bed Bath & Beyond's new CEO bets big that the company won't go under. Bed Bath's old CEO exited at the end of June, and their new interim CEO, Sue Gove, has purchased over $200,000 worth of shares in the company, according to the article. Bed Bath & Beyond appears to be burning through cash, so this is pretty big news. Susie, your review of Bed Bath & Beyond's new CEO betting big in 60 seconds is...
So I want to say that I'm fascinated that they use the word the CEO exited. He didn't really exit. They asked him to leave. And I think that they shouldn't have because he was starting to work on strategies that he just didn't have enough time to execute against. And that in retail, we often use last year's information to make decisions for the future. And so I feel like she's coming in. And by the way, 200X thousands of dollars is a lot of money for most of us, but I don't think it's a lot of money for a board of director to be putting in. But she's coming in at the right time, right? He's put in a lot of different strategies in place that will take a little bit of time to execute and materialize. And so she's going to get some of that halo effect. A lot of analysts are really very pessimistic about Bed Bath & Beyond, and I think that they're going to be okay. They did pull the coupons, which I'm excited that we're talking about this today because we're going to also talk about coupons later. So they did pull the coupons. I think that was probably an a la Ron Johnson mistake and JCPenney. So they just need to fix a couple of things that he did that were probably not right for their consumer base, and then they'll be on their way.
So Susie is optimistic about Bed Bath & Beyond, and my mom can stop keeping a plastic bag of Bed Bath coupons in her car. Jeremy, your review of this news in 60 seconds is?
I think it's going to be very interesting to follow. I'm probably a little bit less optimistic compared to Susie, but I think that they have something major going for them, which is that their comparable numbers, you know, when they're comparing to 2022, 2023 will be a lot better by comparison. Just if you look at the fact that their net sales fell 25% year over year, and they missed out on so many Q4 sales just because of lack of inventory, you know, what are the odds that they're not able to solve some of those issues now that they've highlighted those things as opportunities for growth? So I do think that they are going to fare a little bit better, but they still have a few logistical issues to solve, and it remains to be seen whether or not they're going to be able to, you know, fully address them.
Gotcha. So room to grow. We'll see if they are able to take up that space. All right. Well, thank you for your news and reviews. Now it's time for our next segment, Retail Me This, Retail Me That, where we discuss an interesting retail topic. Today, we're talking about what makes a successful retail holiday. So we can't discuss retail holidays without hitting on Amazon Prime Day. That's today, assuming you listen to our podcast episodes right when they come out, which is what I do. We'll be talking about Prime Day in this episode some, but covering it more in depth next week with Andrew. So keep an eye out for that episode. But Prime Day is not the only summer retail holiday. Major sales days like Memorial Day and Independence Day have already happened in the US. Veterans Day is on its way. These holidays are different from Prime Day in that they are, at least in theory, actual holidays outside of just the retail world. Susie, can you tell me a little bit more about this distinction between a Prime Day type holiday and a Memorial Day type holiday?
Yes, absolutely. So I think the Memorial Day, July 4th, Veterans Day, President's Day, and the real, like the actual Christmas holidays that have morphed into every, you know, all the different holidays sort of lumped into November, December, Those ones are where every retailer is pitting themselves against one another because everybody is trying to participate in that. And you could even throw in like Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day. Folks have a limited amount of money and they're going to spend it. They're ready to spend it. And now retailers are fighting for that share of wallet versus the Amazon Prime type promotional holidays, which are unique, although Amazon Prime is a little bit more unique than the rest, but those are unique to a retailer. The difference about Amazon Prime versus like a Kohl's cashback day or Walmart deals for days or Target days or one of my favorites, Macy's one day sales, those ones are really individual to the retailer. Prime Day took on such a big, big space in retail that a lot of the competitors sort of band together to do Black Friday in July. So that became an event that becomes more like a market share event where they're pitted against one another. But that's basically the big difference.
Sure. So when researching these holidays, I had so many holidays to choose from. Not only does it feel like market share holidays are getting longer, expanding from like a weekend sale to a week-long sale, but also so many major retailers have their own holidays now. Are these holidays getting less relevant or are they still relevant? Jeremy, I'm looking to you for that one.
Yeah, no, so they are relevant, but with a caveat, which is that I think that the consumer is getting a little bit more savvy in terms of planning for these events and putting off a sale. And, you know, somebody can certainly argue that that's something that has happened, you know, historically. It's not something new, but the ability for consumers to share information online in terms of when certain things are going to happen and when the best time to grab something on sale for the best possible price, you know, the average consumer is a little bit more educated in that regard. So I would say they're almost a cost of doing business as opposed to a competitive advantage these days.
I think that's really interesting, right? Because there are some of those like sale aggregator websites too that help you know where to go and buy the best price TV, or even like there are widgets that you can now put onto your computer to say like, hey, I really want this type of TV. So when it's at the best price, let me know. It's true. I didn't think about it as you kind of have no choice but to do your own, like the President's Day ones, those ones you have to do. You don't have a choice. Otherwise you're going to lose out. But the one day sales of the world, that I'm wondering, is that the cost of doing business, do you think, Jeremy?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that is one of those things where you have to, and I think Susie, as obviously you come from a retail background, it just seems to me one of those things where how do you wean yourself off of it? And certainly, I know we've talked about, and maybe we'll have a chance to talk about this, but some D2Cs, you know, they've tried to wean themselves off of that. You know, they don't try to prescribe to that model that multi-retailers have always kind of said, well, we have to have X number of days on sale throughout the year. But it just seems one of those things that once you're on that, you know, wheel, it's really hard to slow it down and to wean yourself off of it.
So do we think it's that they're more savvy and consumers just like gamification better, right? So I think if you think about loyalty programs and this whole Bed Bath & Beyond and folks like Sarah's mom love having those coupons and they like stand in line and use coupon after coupon after coupon versus like buying one set of things and using one coupon, right? There's like this whole idea around tricking the system. Not your mom, obviously, Sarah, but
my
just
mom's going to be so mad at me for making her sound cheap on the podcast. Sorry, mom.
Sarah's mom is just smart.
She is not alone. Like I worked at Macy's for a long time, and at Macy's, you would see people wait in line to try and figure out how to use which coupon for which items to get the best deal. And the sales associates would help them, right? And so like that too, the coupon usage is technically not part of the promotional calendars that we're talking about, but it is part of that idea of gamification, right? Waiting to feel like you got a good deal.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking about this last week. We talked about Google sales tools and how Google for some items will show you like a graph of when the item was less expensive, which might indicate to you that it'll go on sale again, or maybe it'll indicate to you that the price is rising. I mean, I feel like that gamification is really being built in. With regard to retail holidays specifically, we talked about consumers really planning in advance to get the best deals on different retail holidays. Is that the reason why Amazon Prime announces Prime Day's actual date without that much advanced lead-up time?
I mean, I would just say I think so. I think that that definitely you know, because otherwise you have to think, well, they certainly know and they've got the ability to promote it a little further in advance. So why don't they? And the answer is there are some unintended consequences of having this major day, which is that you depress sales a little bit ahead of time.
So, you know what? I think that and also for Amazon Prime specifically, because the other ones, like, you know, when the Macy's one day sale is going to be, you kind of roughly know when the Kohl's cash day is going to be. I think Amazon Prime does it because, and I don't know that they did it from the beginning, but as they realized that Target, Walmart, Macy's, everybody, Kohl's, JCPenney, they're all banding together and doing Black Friday in July, I think it didn't give them enough notice because those retailers don't know when they're supposed to do Black Friday in July. So all of a sudden, it leaves them in the lurch with less than 1 month to, I mean, digital marketing, definitely you can plan that short notice, but not print advertising, right? And so I feel like that could also be a component.
Prime Day is also, or Amazon is also just so much bigger than all those retailers even combined in terms of e-commerce in the US. I was just looking at our data that Amazon makes up like 30 to 40% of e-commerce sales in the US for retail, whereas Walmart, which is second, makes up like 6 or 7% this year. Something I think we're hitting on, but not talking about directly, is that sense of urgency. So Prime Day, definitely a sense of urgency. It's 2 days now. It's been 2 days for a long time, but there's a sense of urgency. You have to buy something on Prime Day or you'll miss it. Are other companies also using techniques to build that sort of sense of urgency?
Yeah, I think so. And I think they're doing it in different ways, right? It's like having a short period of sale, so the length of the sale, but also doing things like dropping product and saying like, here's a doorbuster and these products that are typically really inexpensive and you're getting a really good deal to help drive traffic are only available in store between 8 and 10 a.m. to really help drive traffic with the hope that as people are coming in for this short duration of time for specific products, they're going to buy more things. I think the urgency, you can look at it in so many different ways. Limited quantity, limited time.
Yeah, I would just add to that. I think that one example of urgency that's done really well, but again, consumers are getting savvy to this in part because they listen to your podcast, Sarah, is the fact that you have a lot of retailers that pretend that they're going to run something for 24 hours, but in reality, they know ahead of time they're going to run it for 36 or they're going to extend it. But they pretend that they're not going to. And then bit by bit, you know, consumers do get savvy to these practices.
I have to be honest with you. It's actually illegal for them to do that. And the laws are really in favor of consumers. So it might be called a one-day sale or Amazon Prime Day, but there's always some sort of annotated symbol that's like, it's actually 2 days or it's actually 36 hours. I think by law, I don't know the exact details, but I think by law they have to do, you know, collusion is illegal, like tricking consumers is illegal. So,
but Macy's does have a 1 day sale that lasts 2 days. And I'm sure it mentions somewhere that it's 2 days, but it's called a 1 day sale.
Yes. Yeah, so the marketing name is a little bit misleading, but the copy that comes with it is evident that it's a 2 day sale.
I want to call out something that Susie said a little bit ago, which you were talking about doorbuster sales to drive traffic. So you're making these sales, but you're also driving traffic to the store. Obviously, the goal of retail holidays is sales. That's going to be the primary goal of any retailer. What are some of the secondary goals of these retailers?
I think one thing that can't be discounted is sometimes driving people into a program, you know, so driving people into like a replenishment program is one thing. Driving people into a loyalty program can be a secondary thing, which we have seen that Prime Day is one thing that actually drives people to become Prime members because you realize certain things that you might be missing out on. So those are just a few secondary goals. And brand awareness is certainly another thing about just awareness of a particular program or that a particular retailer exists and should be, you know, within somebody's consideration set.
I think I would also add, all of those are great points. I would also add sales, which also means clearing inventory and creating a sense of loyalty and even like this warm, fuzzy feeling for consumers to feel like they're getting a good deal. You'd be surprised how that makes people feel so good and get like gives the brand the equity that Jeremy's talking about. And I think for some retailers, depending on the way that they structure their promotions, it could also just mean increasing their basket size.
That makes sense. Okay, so we've talked through how successful retail holidays rely on building that sense of urgency, both to drive sales and to invite shoppers into those retailers' ecosystems. These holidays are more saturated now than they once were, but retailers can still take steps to attract consumers to their events. We're going to go to a break so that I can call my mom and apologize for all those Bed Bath & Beyond coupon comments. And after that, we'll talk about some examples of retailer hits and misses. But first, a quick word from our sponsor, Sky. Sky's omnichannel marketing platform connects your data and workflows across all walled garden media. Sky empowers leading brands and agencies with insights they can use, data they can trust, and impact they can measure on the media that matters most. Access data intelligence, make real-time campaign optimizations, manage all digital channels, and understand what's actually working in order to drive growth. Learn more or request a personalized demo at sky.io. That's SKAI.io. Welcome back from the break. Now it's time for pop-up rankings. This week, Jeremy and Susie are ranking their top three examples of effective retail holiday marketing and one miss. Let's kick it off with our first example. Susie, I'm looking at you.
Cool. So for me, the first example was around this idea of creating urgency from a timing perspective. And so before I give you the example, I would like to caveat this idea of urgency for our listeners and brands and retailers. It really works when the consumer is already motivated to buy the product, right? If I wasn't in the market for what I'm about to give you as the example, then it wouldn't have been effective for me. So I got an email from my local gym saying that they had their July 4th flash sale at the gym, and it ended today, and it was July 5th. And I was like, oh, I've been thinking about it, but I was being a little bit price conscious, and this threw me over the edge because it was 2 months free. And so I did it. So I think it was a really effective way for them to convert me because I was in the market for it.
Yeah, that's definitely effective if you have a consumer in the market. Couldn't be me buying that gym membership, but congrats to you.
Yay, I got now an email saying, hi, we haven't seen you at the gym yet.
That's so soon.
Wow.
I know.
Talk about the guilt. I mean, I really like that example. And I think also one thing that, you know, we've all seen that works really well is creating that sense of urgency through, you know, a timer on a website, through, you know, a pervasive messaging, you know, in a good way. Because I think Susie brings up a really important point, which is that you want to sell to people who are going to be reasonably happy with the product that they're buying afterwards, as opposed to tricking people into buying a thing that they don't want to the point that they're unhappy afterwards. You know, you have to
I have a feeling you're teeing up our second example for our top three examples of effective retail holiday marketing.
Possibly.
I will tell you, though, that you can also have this sense of timing that backfires. There was a home improvement retailer, and this goes back to your point, sort of, Jeremy, from earlier about are retailers tricking us consumers into thinking that something is a short duration when it's a longer duration? And so it was a July 4th sale. They didn't call it a flash sale. So I think that's the other brilliant marketing, right? This idea of flash sale, we're also accustomed to those words. But it was a July 4th sale that ended July 6th. So I feel like there is a lengthening even of these long weekends. And that is definitely 0 out of 10 on urgency.
So urgency is one of our top three examples of effective retail holiday marketing. Jeremy, you were getting at our second example. What is it?
Yeah, I think for product assortment, one thing that's interesting is, you know, Gap Inc. Does a pretty good job, not perfect, but pretty good job at this, at having different assortments. You know, we talk about July 4th, right, which just passed recently, and having a lot of seasonal merchandise, sometimes too much, which obviously you never want to have too much that you have to run through and burn out of that excess afterwards. But one thing that works really well for them is that they're a retailer that's actually multiple retailers, you know, and they have multiple sites that you can shop simultaneously. So for somebody who's into July 4th merchandise, then they have a limited time sale where they can grab anything that they want, but they also have some product that you wouldn't have been able to buy 2 weeks before, 3 weeks before, that you might very much want, you know, during the July 4th season.
This feels so obvious to me. Like, one thing that makes an effective retail holiday is a product that people actually want. I think that Nordstrom in their sale releases some product in advance for just like members. So that's sort of like in that vein as well, this like exclusivity of the product. All right, so we have our top two. Susie, give me our third example of effective retail holiday marketing.
So the last one we were thinking was around price. First, we should think about it from a consumer lens, which is the perceived value. So as a retailer and a brand, as you think about your marketing message that is tailored to pricing, you need to really think about who your consumer base is. And so a lot of the questions are usually around, do you do a percent off or do you do a dollar off? And you say like you save $10 or you save 10%. And which one is more meaningful from a consumer lens perspective? It's a very hotly discussed topic. And I'm not sure that we even really know the exact answer to that. It depends, I think, probably at the end on the ticket price. So the example I was going to use is a beauty aggregator that I love because they have brands that are hard to find. And I got an email recently that said up to 40% off site-wide. So already that was great, right? It's beauty is very, very seldom discounted. So already that was very exciting. Site-wide, zero exceptions. And then it had a Prime Days. So I feel like they're trying to piggyback on the upcoming Prime Day holiday, which we know Amazon is really going after beauty. And so it was interesting that they're trying to get ahead of it.
Yeah, it's so wild to me how Prime Day boosts other companies' sales as well. I'm getting a little bit of ahead of ourselves, though. We'll be talking about that more next week. Jeremy, anything to add on that pricing messaging?
Yeah, I think that it's interesting, right? Because I think that pricing is tied very closely to that urgency that Susie was talking about before. And I think that with pricing, if you have a very clear message to let people know exactly what they're getting, and, you know, like that whole zero exceptions thing, that's very effective because it's letting people know that it's very simple, that they don't have to spend a lot of time looking at exclusions, because obviously that's one notorious thing when it comes to sales, which is, you know, this is going to be 30% off unless it's this. Otherwise, it's 23. And yeah. it gets very, very confusing very quickly. And consumers just get turned off because they don't want to put in that much work.
Yeah, I think that if I were a marketer, I would want to have my consumers do as little math as possible.
Absolutely. And what I would say is, as a retailer, like on the merchant side, you need to understand the price elasticity of your goods so that you don't give them away for free unless you're trying to do the halo effect of driving the traffic in, knowing you're going to give it at a steep discount where people were going to purchase it at a higher price anyways, so that you're bringing more people into your store.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So we have our top three hits. We mentioned urgency with Susie's gym doing a great job of that and also continuing to email her after product and merchandising with Gap, marketing messaging with pricing with this beauty aggregator. You guys know I love a miss as well. What's an example of a brand that could have marketed their retail event better and why did their messaging create challenges?
So one that I kind of wanted to talk about, and I think that this is a retailer, they do a lot of things right, but there was recently a Walmart Plus weekend. Did you guys know about it?
Nope.
No, but are you a Walmart Plus? I'm not a member of Walmart Plus.
So, nope. Yeah, it what's interesting is that it didn't seem to actually matter whether or not you were a Walmart Plus member because nobody really knew about it. It is you know, meant to promote the Walmart Plus program and to give some rewards to people who are members of it. And, you know, there were some studies that suggested that a lot of people just didn't even know that this thing was happening. So obviously Prime Day, for instance, has been in existence since 2015, I believe. So you have the ability to build a lot of brand equity and figure out how you can get the word out about a particular event. And this is something that Walmart just really missed the mark in that regard.
So I was looking at their website about the sale, and I think part of the missed mark might have been what Sarah had just said about the math. It was showing like the ticketed price with a strike through and then the new price with a percentage off. And sometimes the percentage off on an item was 18%. Sometimes it was 12%. Sometimes it was 35%. There was no real consistency. And then it was like weird numbers. So I had to do the math. Oh, is that $50 off? Because, you know, you want to know that you got a good deal. And often we equate that to dollar value. And I wonder if that, in addition to nobody knowing that it was even happening, the five people that did know, did they... They didn't even realize that it was that good of a deal.
Yeah, I want to save money, but I literally never want to do math. Never make me do math.
And by the way, very quick data from Numerator about this, just to kind of show you, only 33% of Walmart.com shoppers were aware of the promotion beforehand, compared with 94% of Amazon shoppers who knew about Prime Day in advance. So it just goes to show, like, obviously you need that awareness, and then you need what Susie pointed out, which is that, you know, that clear and consistent pricing. Without that, it's going to be harder to convert people.
So, I mean, so it's more than five people who knew about it, obviously. But what I will say, though, is that Amazon Prime somehow makes every newspaper headline, sort of every TV talk, every TV news and or talk show talks about Amazon Prime.
We're talking about it.
Yeah, right. And so I wonder if Walmart Weekend, because this was their first year doing it, they obviously it was a huge miss, right? So will they start to get into that media frenzy so that they can build sort of a following for next year?
Totally.
That's a great question to look at for next year. That is also all we have time for today. So thank you so much for joining me, Susie.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you, Jeremy.
Pleasure as always.
Thank you, listeners, and to Victoria, who edits the podcast, making every Wednesday its own holiday. Next week, Andrew and I will be talking about Prime Day specifically on another episode of Reimagining Retail, an e-marketer podcast made possible by Sky. And you can tune in tomorrow as Marcus brings you another episode of the Behind the Numbers Daily, an e-marketer podcast.